And like Chris always says, we will have teaching points, and it's very interesting. The Lord, everybody likes to know secrets, and we know some secrets that most people don't know. When people listen to the news, they think, oh, this, they don't see that He's on the throne. The Lord is behind it all, even though we can have trouble with that. But nevertheless, that's a clear teaching of the Bible. And we'll see that today. If everybody would turn and open to Psalm 11, verse 3 and verse 4. And that's only, I'm going to go to a lot of other verses, but these are the verses for today. The Lord, well, let me start in verse 1. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow and make ready their arrow upon the string to shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids test the sons of men. Lord, today we do pray that You would speak to our hearts from Your Word. We do thank You that we can have another study today in Your Word. Amen. Interesting psalm. If the foundations are destroyed, what foundations? What are the foundations of what? And I think if you look at the psalm the way I see it, and I'm not alone, if the foundations of society, laws, things that govern society, if they're moved, changed, then the question is, what will the righteous do? What will the righteous do? And this is something that it's not new. I mean, we see it today in our country. Today the foundations are being moved. Like what? Well, we have gay marriage. God has been taken out of the public arena. Laws are being changed, not for the better. In some places, in some localities in this country, people need a permit to have a Bible study in their house. And what are some other things that are changing? You all know, you read the paper. I mean, there's many things that are changing today. Foundations of society are moving where, well, of course, you could have same-sex marriage, of course. You know, the next thing is like, okay, why not marry a dog or a cat? And you might laugh at that, but I mean, where does it end? And so we see foundations being moved. We see things happening today that, you know, what are the righteous going to do? What do we do? What, based on our position, we know the Lord, what will we do? And we will get to that. But let's just see that this is not something that has just happened. This isn't something new. I mean, look at what's going on in Egypt. Look at what's going on in Syria. Look at all the crazy stuff that's going on. Talk about, you know, it's easy for us to sit here and talk about foundations being moved. But if you're in Egypt, foundations are really moved. There's just so much turmoil today. What will the righteous do? What will the righteous do? What will we do in light of all this happening? And it's happening. And it's going to be happening more and more and more. If you look in Isaiah, this is going on in his time, and the prophets, all of the prophets, had to deal with this type of thing. If you look at Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. That was happening in his time. And this was not just, we'll see a little more in a second. In chapter 10, woe to those, verse 1, who enact evil statutes, and to those who constantly record unjust decisions. Look at verse 29 of Isaiah, and 29 and verse 21. kind of breaks in here in the middle of something, but who cause a person to be indicted by a word and ensnare him who adjudicates at the gates and defraud the one in the right with meaningless arguments. Ever see that happen? It happens. Look at Isaiah chapter 59, verse 3 and 4. Isaiah 59, 3 and 4. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken falsehood, your tongue mutters wickedness. No one sues righteously, and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Look at verse 8 and 9. They do not know the way of peace, and there is no justice in their tracks. They have made their paths crooked. Whoever treads on them does not know peace. Therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold darkness. For brightness, but we walk in gloom. And now 14 and 15. And justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking. And he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight, that there was no justice. Now all these things are happening, and they're happening, it's not just with, you know, the common people. This isn't just a few people doing some things that are bad in Isaiah's time. This is, turn to Ezekiel chapter 22. This goes from the top all the way down. All the way down. If you look at Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 25, it says, there is a conspiracy of her prophets in her midst, like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured lives. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in the midst of her. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the profane, and they have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they hide their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes within her are like wolves tearing the prey by shedding blood and destroying lives in order to get dishonest gain. 28. And her prophets have smeared whitewash for them, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. And then we finally come to verse 29, to the people. The people of the land have practiced oppression and commit robbery. And they have wronged the poor and needy and have oppressed the sojourner without justice. Now this, here, this is God's people. This is God's chosen people. And if this is happening here, and it happened then, do you think this is not happening today everywhere? It is. It's happening everywhere. That's why there's the verse in Ecclesiastes. It says, let me turn to it. It's very, very appropriate. It says, that which has been is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done. So there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. This is not new. This has been happening from day one. It's happening today. And, you know, the prophets, they saw this. You know, they're all dealing with, you know, being a prophet, like, don't want that job. No, forget that. Let's turn back and look at Psalm chapter 10, verse 1, just on the right here of that psalm. Psalm 10, Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In pride, the wicked hotly pursue the afflicted. Let them be caught in their plots which they have devised. Look at Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 1. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and I would plead my case with thee. Indeed, I would discuss matters of justice with thee. Why has the way of the wicked prospered? Why are all those who deal in treachery at ease? You know, there's this problem. Even though the scripture clearly, we'll look at this. The scripture clearly teaches that God is on the throne. Verse 4 says, the Lord is on his throne. In other words, he got it. He got it under control. And it's hard to see. I mean, it's easy for us to sit here, you know, and I can talk about this because, you know, everything's relatively peaceful here in this country at the moment. And it's easy to talk about it, but if you're in Egypt, you're in Syria, you're on the Gaza Strip with Brian, it's like, Lord, why? Let's look and see how the Bible clearly teaches that God is on his throne. Turn to Psalm 22, verse 28. Psalm 22, verse 28. It says, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. The kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Verse, I think it's 19. Psalm 103, 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his sovereignty. And what are some other translations? His sovereignty rules over all. What does King James say? I think it's maybe his kingdom rules over all. Kingdom, okay. And yeah, his kingdom rules over all. But, you know, Jeremiah and some other prophets, they're having trouble like, Lord, why is this not working out like it seems it should? Let's look at a real interesting bunch of verses is in the book of Daniel. Look in the book of Daniel. Start at chapter 2. In the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 21, it says, and it is he, God, who changes times and epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. So he removes kings and he establishes kings. Look at chapter 4. Now this is a real clincher. Chapter 4 of Daniel, verse 17. This is when Nebuchadnezzar, he was going to be driven away from men because he was proud. It's interesting how the Lord worked with Nebuchadnezzar. You know, we like things to happen. Hey, everything's fine with them. We talk to them. They're good to go. It doesn't work like that. It takes time to look. Daniel, you know, interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He said everyone should worship the God of Daniel. Then he sets up an image. And then the young boys don't bow down to the image. Okay, throw them in the fire. You think, Nebuchadnezzar, what aren't you getting here? And then after that, Daniel, you know, there he sees someone in the fire. They're delivered out of the fire. Then after that, he's proud and he has to be driven away from men. And he's driven away from men for a reason. He says, the sentence, this is verse 17, the sentence is by decree of the angelic watchers, and the decision is a command of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High is the ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whom he wishes and sets over it the lowliest of men. Interesting. But look at verse 25. He's not finished. Talking to Nebuchadnezzar, that you be driven away from mankind, and that your dwelling place be with the beasts of the field, and that you be given grass to eat like cattle, and drenched with the dew of heaven, and seven periods of time will pass over you, until you recognize that the Most High is the ruler over the realm of mankind, and bestows it on whomever he will. Verse 32, again, you will be driven away from mankind. Your dwelling place will be with the beasts of the field, give them grass to eat. 7 periods of time pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is a ruler over the realm of mankind, bestows it on whomever he wishes. Eventually, Nebuchadnezzar was a believer in the Most High God, but he had to go through a lot of things to get to that place to see that, oh, God put me here. I can't be proud, because remember when he said, oh, is this not Babylon that I have made? And look how beautiful it is. And then, okay, you're out of here for 7 years. He was dwelling with the beasts of the field. But eventually he believed. He became a believer. And today, you've heard me say, how do you know today, how do you know the person in the White House is God's man? How do we know that, that God put him there?
Romans.
He's there. Which verse in Romans? But basically, he's there. That's how we know. What verse in Romans were you thinking of? Because I'm sure there's
13, I think.
Oh, that the governing authorities are set up by God. Right. And so he said, well, hey, wait a minute. What about Hitler? That's not to say that they did God's will. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible, it's interesting, with respect to the world, God has no parameters for people in office, like in Congress. There's no, they get in Congress, or a president, senator, it doesn't matter. There's no parameters. For Israel, there were parameters. He says, you set up kings, but not by me. So that's, the world is a different thing, and the Lord doesn't deal in the same way with the world and Israel or the church. There's a difference. And today, I remember, you know, way back when Bill Clinton got elected president, all these Christians were like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? The Lord is on his throne. We don't have to get wigged out about this stuff, because the Lord has it under control. And so, you know, the prophets, let's look real quick at Habakkuk 1. Let's look at where's Habakkuk? Old Testament? Okay, I got it. Okay, it is in the Old Testament. Chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Now, Habakkuk and many of the prophets had problems with the way God worked. They had problems. We do too. We have problems too. It's like, well, how come all this stuff is happening in Egypt and Syria? And why? Why? And he says, verse 3, why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore, the law is ignored and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore justice comes out perverted. Now remember, this is God's people. This isn't the United States. We're not one nation under God. There's only one country in the history of the world that was under God, and that was Israel. This is now. Think what it is now in this country. How much worse it is if this is them. And look at also verse 13. Thine eyes are too pure to approve evil, and thou canst not look on wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? All the prophets had this problem like before. This isn't working out the way I think it should. And remember, the Lord in Isaiah, he used Assyria he says, Assyria, the rod of my anger, using a nation more unrighteous than Israel to chastise them. And in Jeremiah, you know the verse we quote, 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not evil, that you would have a future and hope. Well, that's true. But just before that, he said, you all are going to Babylon for 70 years. Didn't sound so good. And Jeremiah, he's prophesying to the people. He's saying, listen, everybody, you haven't heeded the words of the covenant. You're going into captivity. And he, this is over and over and over and over again. And it's going to be a long captivity. Seek the welfare of that nation. Like, hold on. That is unpatriotic. Seek the welfare of Babylon. Put yourself in their position. What if, let's just say, Russia came and invaded the United States and carrying people captive over there, and then you have these people, these prophets saying, seek the welfare of Russia. Build homes, plant vineyards, and just seek their good. Unpatriotic. And then you need to die. That's what they told Jeremiah. You got to die. They say, you're disheartening the hearts of the men of war. It sounds a lot like today in some venues. But, you know, there's always this problem. Okay, so there's the problem of how God works. Now, for us, like Chris would say, teaching points. Okay, so what? You know, God is sovereign. He doesn't work like we think he should work. And remember, when we try to figure out how God works, we'll never do it. Because remember, in Ezekiel, there's wheels within the wheels. We can't do it. We just have to abide by the principles in the scripture and do what that said. We don't have to figure out, well, this, and then, no, we don't have to figure all that out. We just abide by what's laid down in the scripture. So, our position and our conduct is in the New Testament. We'll turn to that in just a second. It's interesting. Bill McDonald, in talking about verse 3 and 4 in Psalm, he says, so, we need not get upset over the headlines. The waves of adverse circumstances may seem to be against us at any particular time, but the tide of God's irresistible purpose is sure to win in the end. The Lord will win. The Lord will win. That being said, so what are we to do? What will the righteous do? Well, our conduct is based on our position with the Lord. And it's always the same, whether we're in a prison camp, whether we're at home, whether we're here. Our conduct is always the same. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 12. This is, it's very good. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers, abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may on account of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Let's look at verse 8. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as 1 day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, verse 11, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? In holy conduct, so we walk with the Lord, abide by principles that are in the scripture. And an interesting thing, it says, Peter says in verse 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, I urge you as aliens and strangers. What do you mean by that? Well, this isn't our home. And what really struck me a couple years ago, it's interesting. Remember how the Lord gave Abraham the land of Canaan. I'm going to give this land to you and your descendants. This is yours. Okay, that's good. But I was reading one time, and turned to Hebrews chapter 11. I was reading, I thought, that doesn't seem right. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, 9 and 10. It says, by faith, this is Abraham, by faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise. What do you mean an alien? That was his land. God gave it to him as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. But here's a good verse. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And look at verse 13. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. That's those guys. I mean, I knew we were aliens and strange pilgrims. Some versions have pilgrims. But these guys, they were looking for the same thing we're looking for, and they were strangers in their own land God gave them. I mean, that just struck me, because God said, hey, this land is yours, from the Euphrates to somewhere. I can't remember, but a lot of land, okay? And it was given as a gift. But they lived as alien and strangers, and it says in tents. Oh, man, forget a tent, I want a house. But they were in tents. So you can just see the thought of Scripture, how it helps us to deal with things that come our way, because things do come our way. Even though we're not in Egypt, we're not in Syria, you know, things come our way. And look at Psalm, last verse, ended on time. Last verse, Psalm 94, 19 through 23. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, thy consolations delight my soul. Can a throne of destruction be allied with thee, one which devises mischief by decree? They band themselves together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has been my stronghold and my God, the rock of my refuge. So we won't read the rest. But, you know, we know some secrets that people in the world don't know. And when things start to come more and more on this country, we will be a testimony of God's grace and love to the people. And many will be more open, I think, to listen when their bank account isn't full and they don't have all the food they need. They would perhaps be more open to hearing what the Scripture says. So, is there any questions? Did I make myself clear? Sometimes I don't. Does anybody have a question? Because sometimes I'm not clear.
Well, I have a comfort and a reinforcement and an encouragement on your theme.
Good.
Because they help us make it through.
Yeah.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Good. And I mean, the Lord is our comfort. And of course, it's easy for us to sit here. You know, we're all fat and happy. But there's a lot of Christians in the world who are not fat and happy, and they're undergoing persecution. And you know, I'm sure they would love to look at these verses too, and it would have more impact on them than it does us. But it's good to know, like Kenny Grant says, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God?
He knows the end from the beginning.
It's true. Nothing ever occurred to God. He got it. His sovereignty, Psalm 103, rules over all. So I hope that's a bit helpful and good to see what the Lord has in Scripture. And Lord, we pray you would use this for your good, for your glory, in your people. And thank you that you have everything under control and that you know the end from the beginning. Amen.